Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia Territory of the Gidimdum Clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en. Well, there you have it, everyone. We're opening up our 26th show, our last show for the year. And we have in the studio tonight Mike Boville and Kelly Ehalt from Hetherington and Hooper, the men's and women's clothing store on Main Street. So I'd like to welcome you guys to the studio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, yeah. You betcha, Mike. So what we normally do on the show, guys, is we just try to figure out why somebody would come to this valley and why they would stay and how they would stay. What would they do to get themselves settled? And so I know with you guys being born here, it's a little bit different story, but there's also an opportunity that once you're old enough, you can hit the trail if you wish to, but you didn't. So I'd like to just ask you that question. You know, what got you sort of connected that you wanted to stay here and you were happy here?
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so for me, I ended up working out of high school, working surveying with Dick Goble, and then I went away to Vancouver to BCIT, and I took surveying at school, and that sort of was my path at mm-hmm. the time. And then a fellow that was working for our dad decided he wasn't going to buy the business. And so my dad phoned me and said, do you want to come back and work into the business? And kind of the rest is history. I chose to come back. And it's been there ever since.
Yeah, yeah. So you were staying down in Vancouver, Mike,
yeah,
at the time?
I was living there.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I worked surveying in New Westminster.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. That's interesting. And what about you, Kel? Did you have a similar experience?
Yeah, very similar, actually. I left here in the early 80s to go down to Vancouver. I went to a fashion merchandising school, stayed there for about a year, came back for a blip, and thought I don't want to be here. Went back to Vancouver and worked there for about 4 years.
Wow.
In a ladies' clothing store down there.
Right.
And then ended up coming back here, same sort of reason. I didn't actually come back to the business here, but I missed Smithers, missed a lot of my friends.
Right.
So ended up back here. And interestingly enough, I worked for CJFW radio station.
No
back
kidding,
in
eh?
The day.
Yeah,
worked for Apollo Automotive for a year and then went to CJFW.
Right.
And then went to work for All West Glass for a number of years until my dad asked me if I wanted to come into the business as well because he was ready to retire. So Mike and I became business partners.
Wow. That sounds like a pretty interesting path.
Mm-hmm.
Could we just go back a little bit further just to your school days? And I'm always curious, being that I came from a city, what it was like to live in a small town. And when I grew up, like, I was in Burnaby, and it was pretty sticky around there, and we spent a lot of time building forts, and I was always dreaming about horses. You know, I had this sort of, I should have been born in Smithers, but I wasn't. But you guys were, like, did you find that you had the interest around Smithers that kind of could help keep you here also?
As kids, oh, for sure. I mean, we spent a lot of time, we grew up on the hill by the old hilltop, and spent our childhood youth at Riverside Park.
Right, right.
Like every night, every day. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, all the sports we were lucky enough to be involved in. We always skied with our family.
Right,
and started
right.
out at Stutzen Acres Hill out yeah. in Driftwood. And right. then ended up, you know, on Hudson Bay Mountain through, when we first started, it was just the Prairie Tea.
Yeah.
And saw it evolve into what it is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think those childhood friendships, lots of them, we still know the people today. And,
right.
you know, you might not hang out with them all the time, but you're still really good friends with
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a very important part of our sort of our life is the friends that we've met.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've got a group. There's a group in Burnaby, the Burnaby Boys, they call themselves, and they get together every week for lunch. And I find that hard to believe. After 50 years, they're still doing it. Mm-hmm. And I catch up with them when I'm down there. But it is quite something when you have close friends that you've gone to school with.
Well, and I think through the business, too, we've made lots of friends right. over the years. And again, you might not socialize with them, but they're definitely friendships because of the business.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, that sounds an interesting approach there, Kelly. I got one last question on that was the, did you guys go to Chandler Park?
Yep.
And Chandler Park always seemed to be a challenge. I had three boys go through there. Did you find that at all?
Not when we went, but I think it was a lot different then. There weren't the social issues that you have today. You know, with the pressures
right,
and all that.
Right, right.
When we were in Chandler Park, we were kids still.
Yeah,
there was none of this other stuff going
on. Yeah,
yeah. A little different when you hit the high school.
Yeah, that's
well,
right.
Well, and I think for us, we didn't have social media.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you wanted to go find a friend, you went and found a friend, you know, physically found them. And so it was just different. It was simpler back then, for sure.
Yeah. Were you guys bikers back then? Like, did you ride around town with your bike?
No.
You didn't go and meet your friends and do any biking setup?
Not really.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
We walked everywhere.
Yeah.
And then until we had vehicles.
Yeah.
Or till friends had vehicles and then you wrote, you know, pile 20 in the back of the pickup and away you go.
Exactly.
No seatbelts required.
Yeah. Well, let's, as we're going along, we like to play some songs being a radio station, and we usually would like everybody to put in a Canadian song, and you guys have put three Canadians in there, mm-hmm. and so that's kind of tuned it up. So let's take a start with our friend Mark Perry. Have you got a reason for this song?
This it reminds me of when we were young.
Yeah.
And we used to go driving on the Telqua High Road in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
If it was a full moon, you'd turn the lights off.
And
just drive in the dark. It was a lot of fun.
That sounds like good days. Okay, let's try it. So this is kind of Under Northern Skies.
I saw summer under northern skies. Stayed up all night in the morning, caught me by surprise. Seems we drove forever in Terry's old wildcat. Never stopped to think about where we were at. Hey, we were driving all night in the summer under northern skies. There was a stop off Main Street where we met those girls. We promised them twice to go around the world. We laughed as they got in and they shut the car door. Said, hey, we're nice girls, could you have us home by four? And we went driving all night in the summer under northern skies. Gonna drive all night in the summer. Gonna drive all night in the summer. Gonna drive all night in the summer under northern skies. Now Jimmy called me up the other day to say hello. Said I'm making lots of money but the time's going slow. And what am I doing over here in Singapore? What would I give if I could just walk through that door and go driving all night in the summer under northern skies? And that car I used to drive once is no more. It's been replaced by a much more practical four-door. Sometimes late at night when I'm sure everyone is asleep, I sneak out the door, plug in a tape, and back out slowly, and go driving all night in the summer under northern skies.
Gonna drive all night in the summer.
Gonna drive all night in the summer. Gonna drive all night in the summer. Gonna drive all night in the summer under northern skies.
Gonna drive all night in the summer.
Gonna drive all night in the summer. Gonna drive all night in the summer. They're gonna drive all night in the summer under northern skies.
Well, that's a beautiful tune, and Mark Perry, of course, has been our favorite guy since we've been up here, and we're actually going on a trip with him on the 10th of June. He's going to float the Skeena with one of the guys from Terrace has got a boat, and they're going to take 8 people up to the Cassiar Cannery, and Mark's going to play all the way up there. So that,
oh, that's cool.
That's going to be kind of cool, yeah. So we've talked a little bit about your early years. And now one thing that I often wonder about is how do we become workers? And like in my upbringing, I was kind of cut grass and I was doing different things. And sort of my dad was always wanting me to work. It was a big thing in his life. And I seemed to want to do that to my children, make sure they worked. How did you guys become workers? Like, was it a natural process to?
I'm not sure about a natural process, but I remember cutting lawns and had a paper route that went all over town that I made no money at. And then, of course, I actually went to work for my dad when he bought the business out when I was in grade 10.
Right.
And then, so I was in the store until I graduated.
Right. Yeah. Right. That sounds pretty cool. Yeah. What about you, Kelly? Did you?
I actually, one of my first jobs was our aunt, my dad's sister. She had a hairdressing shop and I used to bike out to her place. She had a place out just out of town here, a couple of kilometers. And I used to bike out there and wash people's hair and just help her in the shop.
Yeah.
And it was kind of a summer job. And then I went to work for Mr. Mike's because every young teenage girl worked in a restaurant at that point. So I worked there for a long time, but always had an interest in the clothing industry. And I ended up at Jeans North. Jack Payne hired me to manage it when I graduated high school.
Right.
And then I worked there until I moved to Vancouver, basically.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Well, no, that's interesting that we go through that sort of young age of finding our way.
And then I think back then too, like our parents, if you had a mortgage, you were paying 18% and 19% interest. So our parents had the business plus a mortgage and they didn't have a lot of extra money. So if you wanted those extra fun things, you got a part-time job.
That's right.
Help out.
Exactly. And I felt the same. I was kind of like my dad had a shoe store in Haney. And so I got to go there, like I said, when we were in grade 10 and he trained me to be a salesman, And then I ended up getting a job at Sears in Burnaby in the shoe department. And I was able to work for those 2 years. I had more money then than I've ever had, really, because I had nothing to spend it on, But, so anyways, that's kind of how it went. So as you put some time in with your dad, too, during those early years, like, how did he get involved in the store? That was something I was kind of curious about.
That's a funny story, because he got offered the job because Owen Hooper broke his leg, so he was just filling in there.
Right.
And he ended up being there 49 years.
Isn't that incredible? That's how life goes. It really is just what road opens up for you, what door opens, and you either go in or move along, Yeah, and in my case, my dad had offered me the store to get involved in that. And I just had this drive that I wanted to go north. And I didn't really want to be involved in the store. And many times when I'm lying under a piece of equipment and oil's dropping in my face and it's 30 below, I think, I should have bought that store. But anyways, what can you do,
Yeah.
So, okay, well, let's kick in another song here. We've got this one now. One of our favorite guys in town is Alex Cuba. Have you got a bit of a relationship with him? Did you meet him through the store? He's a bit of a...
Well, we've known the Goodacre family for many years. And, of course, when him and Sarah moved back to the Valley, we got to know them through the business, basically. Right. And he's become a great customer and a great person in the Valley. And so, yeah, he's a big part of this community.
He is. He really has taken a role in there. And it's kind of cool, really.
Yeah.
Like so many of our customers... They aren't just customers, they become your good friends over time.
Right. Yeah. Which is so important. And then, you know, that I think that helps you to understand your customers a little better when you're going on a purchasing trip or something, that you kind of, oh, this guy would like this or that.
Very much so.
Girl would like that, you know, that type of thing. Okay, well, let's try this song now. Did you know this song before? It's called Vampiro. It must have something to do with the vampires.
Yeah, but it was basically his first big song.
Okay.
And they were playing it on like Much Music and MTV, and so you'd hear it all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's see how it sounds on CICK. I remember it. Yeah.
Porque no te olvido y como si fuera el más furioso te llevaré conmigo. Tú me haces un vampiro. Sin respirar te besaré, no importa dónde. Tengo la noche de amigo y más que un motivo para vivir. Voy a seguir contigo jugando a ser tu vampiro. Mientras que negro me iré volando siempre a tu encuentro. No es nada lejos cuando me alcanza tu olor el viento. Yo sé que tú amas lo nuestro y no lo digas, es un secreto, es amor perfecto. Yo sé que tú amas lo nuestro y no lo digas, es un secreto, es amor perfecto. Escondidos, ser vampiro de tu amor. Esta noche yo quiero estar contigo, amarnos escondidos, ser vampiro de tu amor. Esta noche yo quiero estar contigo, amarnos escondidos, ser vampiro de tu amor. Perfecto, el que tengo contigo, perfecto, perfecto.
That's one smooth operator.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We've got a funny story with him. My brother, I told you, was down in L.A., and he went down there to play music. And he's actually friends with Alex's brother down there.
Oh, okay.
His brother lives down there, so there's a little connection through that to Smithers. So I just wanted to go a little bit further into the starting of the decision with the store, and when your dad got started, did the Hoopers step out after the broken leg, or did he work for them for quite a long time, or how did that go? When did he actually decide he was going to buy it? When did they want to retire?
Well, Gordon Hetherington and Owen Hooper were there, and then Dad became a business partner with them in 69. Oh,
okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then eventually they wanted out, and so Dad bought the business from them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And
that was in
77.
Yeah.
Okay. And was your dad, was that, I always thought your dad, like I knew his brother, and he was a logger, had a logging truck driver.
Dad never had.
Tom Bovell?
Cousin.
Was, cousin. Oh,
cousin,
okay,
sorry.
Right.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe the Bovells were involved in logging a bit. Was your dad sort of a type of guy that liked clothing and, you know?
Yes. The,
yeah.
It was like his ultimate passion in the end. Like loved everything about it.
Yeah.
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 And so that was just the part that I always found interesting was making the decision when you're in a business, how do you go out and buy what you're preparing for the next season, and how do you determine what styles you're going to choose? How does that, is that something you just walk through it and you just see exactly what you got and you're, that's it, I'm taking that?
Well, you actually, you develop a bit of a feel for it, for
right.
sure. But what we do is on paper and pencil, we have old books of how many we sold the year before.
Right.
So we kind of plan it that way. But it's more of a feel in how fashion's changing. But
yeah.
we're pretty lucky here. It's not like New York when you're on the edge of new fashion.
Right.
And it's changing
right.
so
yeah.
fast.
Yeah.
We're fairly conservative, but yeah.
Well, we do seem to have our, I call it the northern style. Like when I see our people around town, I'm thinking, like, I mean, like this shirt is something mm-hmm. that I would say is people will buy it, you know, because it's something that's sort of, to me, it's kind of northern, you know. But, and so you get that just from experience and your clientele that you're working with and that type of thing.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, things have certainly evolved over the years or changed. Like when our dad was in the business, the salespeople traveled through.
Right.
So you weren't booking so far ahead when you were buying your product.
Right, right.
So they would come through a couple times a year stop in, and they had all their samples with them and they had product with them. But today we've started to book our spring of 2026 already.
Wow.
So we're that far. So you don't, it's hard because you're not quite through your season yet.
Right.
And you have to prepare for next season. But like Mike said, our fashions aren't crazy in one day, out the next.
Right, right.
They're more standard and, you know, you're buying the same things, just changing it up slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a bit of color, maybe something that changes. And then you've got the season. You know that winter is a little bit darker, but nowadays people like to wear bright for winter too. So you have to, you're adapting to where the fashion is.
Well, and people, you know, it takes them a while here to adapt to a new style or a new,
right.
we would call a fashion.
Right.
We've noticed that in our business. You buy something and they're like, no, not going to wear that. And then in a couple of years, you start to see them, okay, now I'll buy it.
Yeah,
you know,
No, I think that's very, very true. And I used to say that about L.A., like when my brother would see something in L.A. Well, we wouldn't see it in Vancouver for at least a couple of years, and then it would be floating through, you know.
Yeah, so now it's a little different with the internet and what people see, for sure.
Yeah.
Things are certainly much, much quicker, for sure. Mm-hmm. So just going back now to the part about your dad, and was your mom involved in the store too?
Yes, over the years. Not when it was a partnership with Gordon and Owen and my dad, but after that, then she was the bookkeeper and she did a lot of the accounting because that's what she did previous to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like she worked for the Bank of Montreal and then she did accounting for a lot of other people in town.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, that's good. So it's a true family business.
Yes.
No doubt about
yes.
that for sure. And then, so this decision that you were talking about, Mike, where you got in the business, and you know, like that's a big decision, and you had it too, Kelly, mm-hmm. where you have to almost say to yourself, "Well, this is what I'm going to do for." I mean, we'd have to pick a number, say at least 10 years, and then fit in there. So you've got to make a. It's kind of like you would probably not sleep well that first night thinking about your commitment. You know, that commitment is a
actually,
pretty.
Not really. It was different then. You know, yeah. People change careers all the time today.
Yeah.
And but at that point, if you had an opportunity, you basically would take it. It was like when I went into surveying at school. Like I would have been probably still doing that if this opportunity to come back hadn't happened.
Right. Right. You know? I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, it's interesting for sure. The way life goes mm-hmm. and our stretch that we've been in is pretty cool stuff. Okay, well, let's squeeze in another song here. I really enjoyed that one from Alex mm-hmm. Cuba. I've got this other one that we've got lined up here is a U2 song. And I was kind of thinking that maybe that had something to do with your heritage. Do you have a
that
bit of
that? That has something to do with Mike.
Yeah.
No, that... it's, you know, it's kind of the whole Irish problem all wrapped into one song. And when I was 18, I got the opportunity to go to Ireland with my grandparents.
Did you? I didn't know that. My that's pretty cool.
And when I saw the other kids my age, they had nothing, but they were happy.
Yeah.
Like they had no kind of opportunities for work. It was totally different. And I think that changed my whole attitude towards life.
Right.
You know, money didn't seem very important after that. It was, mm-hmm. you know, we were kind of spoiled. I was making the same amount of money working surveying in a day that the kid that was doing the same job over there was making in a week.
Yeah.
And things were the same price. So.
It's very interesting sometimes when you get out and look what's going on mm-hmm. in the world, how fortunate we are here. It's a little bit crazy, actually.
Yes, it is.
I always consider us living in a bit of a bubble because we've got our own little world wrapped around us, and we see what's going on out there, but we're kind of hoping it doesn't come here, you know, all the issues and whatever.
Yeah.
Well, these guys are pretty cool guys, you two. Let's play this song and see how it sounds. This is Sunday, Bloody Sunday.
Hello.
Yeah, that's an interesting song. And I remember, I don't know if you guys remember, there was about 10 kids from Ireland on a student exchange. And they came to Smithers and, you know, they had a wonderful time. And we were at the airport when they were leaving and they were all crying. And it was pretty emotional, you know, thinking that they had to go back to what's going on over there when they've come into this little world that we have here. And it was a bit eye-opening listening to that. So have you guys spent a bit of time traveling beyond that trip, Mike? Have you done any other world
adventures?
Not really, no. Yeah.
That's my only time outside of North America.
Right. That's pretty cool. Yeah. And what about you talked, Mike, about sports there. Did you have a sport? Did you play hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we played hockey here, skied.
Yeah.
Did everything. Played soccer. Played a lot of soccer over the years.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It was always a lot of fun. And I mean, those were where you met most of your close friends. You played. You went in those days. You would stay with families when you're a kid traveling.
Right.
It was a lot of fun. And I think the kids kind of miss out on that today.
A little bit.
Because of all the paranoia about all the other stuff going on. But I think it really got you out into other communities and
right.
live with other families and see how they lived. And,
yeah, how they figured it out. It's pretty good. Pretty cool. Kel, were you a bit of a sports girl at all?
Yeah, always. Skied from basically the same time that Mike started, I started. Spent a lot of time on the hills over the years. And then when I got into Chandler Park, I started playing volleyball and played a lot of volleyball for many, many years.
That's pretty big sport in this community, too.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And we've got a soccer star here from the World Cup or wherever they come from in Europe there, Danny.
Yeah.
We've got hockey stars. And
we have a lot of stars.
We've been pretty fortunate. Yeah. We've got stars on Main Street. You guys are stars, you know.
Yeah. Old stars.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting. Well, the other thing when I had, when we had the business, the thing that I found, and it didn't take us very long, we were on First Avenue, and we became like the know-it-all people of First Avenue, what the buzz was going on First Avenue. And we were hooked up with the bookstore, and you guys were on the corner there, you know, and so anything that was going on, we were sort of would get the news. And that is kind of something that I know you guys must like, is being connected with the downtown merchants and knowing these people, you know, these are all your working companions that you're associated with, you know?
For years, Mike and I chaired the downtown, the Merchants Association is what they used to call it. And yes, we worked a lot with those individuals and their businesses over the years, for sure.
Right. Yeah. And it's kind of fun, and it's kind of just nice to get to know people.
Well, it's an important part of being in business is to be part of the community and be a part of what's going on in that downtown core.
Right.
Yeah, and all the events we used to run were a lot of fun. Like at the beginning, there was Midnight Madness and then the Main Street Fair and the Christmas in the Valley. And it gets everybody out, all the families out. People see each other. People see people they haven't seen for a long time.
Exactly.
You know, kind of like the Midsummer and the Fall Fair, right?
Yeah, but yeah, exactly.
Similar.
Yeah. I mean, and I personally feel bad if I'm going to miss Fall Fair.
Yeah,
or, you know,
it's a community
I think,
event.
Wow, I got to work around that because I don't want to miss it, you know, because that's part of our connection, which is it's very important. So I just wanted to ask a little bit more about the store itself. Now, when you got into the store, Kelly, there was no women's section as such.
Well, it's interesting because we just found an ad from that the museum pulled up for us back in 1950. Early 50s, where they did have women's suits in that store, which we found quite unbelievable.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when mom and dad were at the store, they had a bit of a ladies' wear section in there back in the 80s, I guess it would have been.
Yeah.
And then they sold that out to Marge Buchanan when she took over Village Fashions.
Okay.
And then Mike and dad put the ladies' wear back in just prior to when I got to the store.
Right.
Yeah.
And the expansion of the building happened before that, Mike? Is that how you had room for that?
Yeah, the expansion of the building was in 87.
Okay.
Yeah, that was just before I moved back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So yeah. That was quite a moment.
Yeah, when, well, it basically our store frontage doubled.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty incredible. I didn't realize it had gotten that much larger. So then there was more room. The other thing that seemed to grow was the workwear world. Workwear itself seemed to get bigger.
Yeah, that was Dad's thing. He was so on top of things happening, and he saw the Carhartt kind of thing happening, and so he brought Carhartt into our store.
Right.
And at the time, it was a bit of a bit of controversy with the other people that were carrying workwear in the town, but I think it actually worked out pretty good for both, according to our Carhartt salesman. He said their sales went up after we started doing Carhartt too, because it really took off.
Yeah. No, that sounds pretty good. Mm-hmm. And so the actual, the style, like you guys have got your own style, and you're like, one thing I just wanted to say, like when we went into the Peak, we put some video games in there, which that was not Trent's style. Like Trent was a trendy, was a stylish guy, and everything that he had in there was very high end, and was part of his problem. He was a little too high end, and that the town wasn't quite ready for him. Where if you look now, if you go to the breweries or you know the Smithers Brewery with Blaine and the gang, it's kind of a high end little place, and there's lots of action going on there. Where at that time, I think with Trent, it wasn't. So we put the video games in, which kind of took it down more to a kids area. But with your style, you guys have kind of kept that style. It's almost like a Hetherington and Hooper and your dad's sort of legacy, that you're still on that sort of high-end fashion that fits the community.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people here, we've always kept that kind of middle of the road because you need that for everybody.
Yeah.
But then you need the kind of the newer stuff. So the people who want to be a little more fashionable, they can find it and get it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
The quality of the garments has always been a big part of our business.
Right.
And Dad ingrained that into us day after day.
Yeah.
And, you know, said like that was what made him successful.
Right.
Buy something good and buy it once.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, I like that. I really like that attitude. That sounds pretty cool. Okay, well, let's throw in one more song, and then we can talk a little bit about your sales. Like, you have an annual sale, and, you know, it's kind of interesting that now we've reached a 75-year anniversary sale. That's pretty incredible, actually. So this song you've got here, we're going to play it off of the CD. It's a Régine song, Régine Laidlaw. She's quite a woman, quite a singer, and it's called Heart is Where the Home Is. She kind of changes it around a bit. Have you got a connection to that at all? I mean, these songs don't have to have connections. It's just a question.
Well, again, she's part of the community. She's got an incredible voice. And their family shopped in our store for years.
Still do, to this day.
Yeah,
well, when we sold the ranch out in Telqua, the Laidlaw Kristen bought it.
Mm.
That would be a, she must be related somehow to Régine. But anyways, let's give this song a go, if we can get her to fire.
Coming over the crest of that hungry hill, and in my chest my heart goes still. Lying before me a blanket of variegated green, and it's the warmest blanket these eyes have ever seen. Now this valley is long and this valley is wide, majestic mountains guarding either side, and down the middle there rushes a laughing river. where the fish run home in a flash of silver. My heart is where my home is, it's never gone away. My heart is where my home is, it's never gone astray. Now I've dipped my toe in many an ocean, satiated my traveling notions. Never name all the places I have been, never name all the people I've met and seen. But my heart is where my home is, it's never gone away. My heart is where my home is, it's never gone astray.
That is very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's some good words there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an amazing song.
Very beautiful song. So we'll just slip in our little station identification that we're working on, where we are, just let our listeners, remind our listeners that this is CICK, Smithers Community Radio, and we're 93.9 on your FM dial. I also want to have a little shout out to our sponsors. We've got Bugwood Bean this week, Ranch House Tattoo, Classic Sanitary, and BV Concert Association and the BV Farmers Market. So just to remind everyone that my name is Thomas Tom Roper, and our program is On the Ropes, and tonight we have from Main Street Smithers, Hetherington and Hooper, Mike Bovell, and Kelly Ehalt as our guests. So, Mike and Kelly, I just wanted to ask a little bit about the sale program. Like, this sale has been going on, would you say, since the beginning? And we had 75 years of
Well, we've always run something at Father's Day. I think that was always a traditional thing for Hetherington and Hooper.
Right.
And it's just always continued on. And so, and the other reason is it's Friday the 13th, which was a big day for my dad. He was born on a 13th, and he always, Friday the 13th was good luck to him.
Right,
and
right.
And so to have it then, you know, it kind of honors him as well.
Yeah, that works out perfect, actually. What the style of the sale, like I know with my dad, he used to have buy one pair of shoes and get the other one for a dollar, but most of the shoes that were on sale were all shoes he wanted to get rid of, you know. So he was quite happy.
Yeah.
But your style is a little bit different now. How do you lay that out?
We're celebrating our 75th anniversary, June 13th and 14th.
Okay.
And we've actually reached out to many of our suppliers, and they've graciously donated thousands of dollars worth of merchandise that we're going to give away. Right. We've actually figured it out the other day, and it's about $10,000 worth of merchandise.
Wow.
So we're very honored that they've done that for us, which is great. And so we'll run an in-store sale for those 2 days.
Right.
And if you make a purchase, you get to enter your name into one of those great draws.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Now, yes, the style, did we not have a, where you bought it at one price and you get the other one 50% off, or how did that go?
We used to, years ago, run the Thanksgiving sale where we buy one, get one at half price.
Right.
And we ran that for a long time. When Dad first started, it was because business was really soft in the 80s.
Right.
And the first time they ran it was just on the Thanksgiving Monday, and then it got too big. And then it was Thursday to Saturday. But the last few years, it was actually just before COVID was the last time we ran it.
Right.
But it had been kind of losing momentum.
Right.
People had lost interest. It was...
We needed something new.
Yeah. Something new.
So. Yeah.
That's the way life is. We got to change up a little bit.
You got to change and adapt.
Yeah.
And we were going to celebrate do a bit of a celebration when the business hit 70. And unfortunately, COVID happened. So that kind of put a kibosh to all that. But we're excited about this. We think it's nice to celebrate something for 75 years. We've got some food that'll be there on the Friday and some food on Saturday. So we're looking forward.
Oh, it sounds...
And just looking forward to people coming by to say hello.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It sounds very, it sounds exciting. And it's good for Main Street. It keeps us rolling.
Yeah.
There's always got to be something going on. Get us down there, you know?
Yeah.
So that works out real good. Okay, well, let's, we got room to slide one more song in here. I've got either we can play Alex Cuba or we could play Mark Perry, do you have a choice?
Either or.
You love them both.
They're all good.
All right. Well, let's try this one here, Mark's. See what that sounds.
I wish that I could go crazy like that. He is an uninhibited man. He dances so loose and out of control. Seems unafraid to let himself go. I am conservative in my dance, afraid to look like a fool and take a chance. He just moves so easy and free, but he's not the man I want. Much stronger these days. I'm a little bit stronger these days. I laugh a little bit longer these days. I think I'm coming around. John rides in a big long Cadillac. He has an ice maker in the back. Better than you or me, and he claims you are what people see. He likes to spread a little money around and see what new friends can be found. And the harder I look, the more I see that he's not the man I want to be. Much stronger these days. I'm a little bit stronger these days. I laugh a little bit longer these days. I think I'm coming around. Think I'm gonna come around. Stronger these days. I'm a little bit stronger these days.
Well, that was a pretty cool older song of Mark's.
Yeah.
Back in the day. So I think we've kind of got ourselves a little, what we're looking for my listeners. We like to try to pry into your life a little bit and see what's going on, how you've made some decisions. And I think you guys have had a pretty fantastic run down Main Street, and you're a community corner, you know, a cornerstone of this community. And, you know, I think there's a lot of appreciation for what you guys have done. And I would also like to just thank you in general for coming out tonight and giving us this opportunity to talk with you. And I appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Yeah, we appreciate being invited here. And yeah, it's neat to sit down and chat with people that you don't normally get a chance to chat with, especially on a radio station.
Yeah. And I think also, you know, Smithers has been very good to us. We've been very fortunate. Town's been great to us, and all the people we've met, it's been amazing.
It is kind of amazing, really. And, you know, we are, we're a close community, but we do have a lot of people coming and going. And we're meeting new people really all the time, which is kind of good.
Yes, it is good. Yeah, keeps us, building our community.
Yeah, and keeps us alive. I don't feel like we're a stagnating community. You know,
no,
I
think not at all.
No. We've got young people. Like over the last few years, I've seen a lot of babies, and I've felt that's been good. Where, you know, maybe 20 years ago there wasn't as much sort of young person growth. Where I see a lot of it happening, and it's good to have that coming in the community.
Well, and I think a lot of young people have moved back because the cities are expensive and there's chaos in the cities, and so to bring up your family, it's a nice place to grow up and to bring up your family.
Exactly. And I am a little concerned. Excuse me, my biggest concern really is the cost of things, and I kind of worry that it's falling out of reach from our younger people, but somehow we got to keep surviving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think another interesting thing is when you meet people here, especially when they come into our store and they've just moved here, it's always interesting to hear their story of how they've ended up here.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're trying to do here on the ropes, because we tried to write about that back in the day when I was on the paper, and now I'm trying to do the same thing here. It's just so interesting that somebody would come by and they'd look around and they'd say, this looks like I'd like to stay here. And then for them to stay, you know, forever, to make their home here, I think it's...
Well, and the lady who works for us, Maurice, her and her family moved here from Belgium 14 years ago. And that's kind of what they did probably 7 years prior to that. They traveled through here, and her husband said, this is where I want to move to. Yeah. And here they are a number of years later, and... Yeah, we're lucky to have them as part of our community.
Exactly. No, that sounds great. Could I get Marie on the radio station? We'll have to ask
you
her.
Wouldn't get in a word in edgewise.
Yeah.
She'd be asking you the question.
Yeah, that's perfect. That's perfect, yeah. Okay, well, we'll close her out. I've got an outro here, a pre-prepared outro, and then we're shutting her down.
Okay, well, thanks for having us, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks for coming out.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.